My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. This is where we talk to people of special interest in the United Church of God and to people who cross paths with us. With me today is Justin Palm. He's senior writer here at the United Church of God, involved with writing for our various publications, notably the Beyond Today magazine. We greatly respect his journalistic skills and his research. And as a result, we have the topic that we have before us today. He has written much of our content, edited much of our content, and of course, whatever we write, we want to write with the highest integrity and the spelled truth, T-R-U-T-H. We feel that truth is very important. And that's the subject that we'll be talking about today, which is fake news. But also, we will have our sound engineer, Chaz Leathers, who will join us as well. So welcome to Inside United.
Well, thanks. Good to be here.
I think that whether you know what it is or not, you've heard the term fake news. Sometimes it's an epithet, sometimes it's just a weaponized word to stab back at people. But Justin, let's talk about fake news. What's the definition?
Yeah, thanks. There's a lot to cover. There's a lot of aspects of this, and there's even a little bit of fake news maybe within the subject of fake news. But it's a complicated topic, and there's a lot of tentacles that go in different directions. But one kind of humorous example. Right before we came in the studio, I won't call them out, but a coworker told me about a headline that he just saw flash up on his news headlines, and it was about one of the Democratic candidates. And then I asked, well, that's pretty surprising. And then I asked about where it was coming from, or can I see the article? And then he realized, oh, this is from a joke website, a satire website. Mm-hmm. So it's a fake headline. It wasn't reporting any real story. It was just a satirical post about one of the candidates. But it just, that happened right before we came in the studio. And it becomes an example of how hard it is to differentiate, the reality of some of these news articles that are out there. We are very much living in a post-truth age where it's just hard to know what is truth anymore. And fake news it means different things to different people. A lot of times people hear about fake news on Facebook being posted. I have a good article from the Atlantic magazine, and it's by David Graham. And the headline is "Some Real News About Fake News." And a couple of the quotes here that are interesting that I pulled out, it says there was a new Pew Research Center study, and Americans rate fake news as a larger problem than even racism, climate change, or terrorism when they did a study about it. And I think, my personal opinion about that is just that it's, people are seeing it as a threat to this whole way that we take in information. Racism is easy to understand, and it's easy to condemn, and it's not always easy to fight against, but terrorism is kind of easy to understand. There's bad guys out there, and they want to do harm. But when it comes to fake news and false stories, it's almost like kind of morphs your brain to try to think about what kind of impact this is having on us when we read things on the internet. So those are just a couple kind of introductory thoughts about fake news.
What fake news, I feel, since it's a new term, a relatively new term, it relates to news that just is not true at all, perhaps even non-existent. It's a made-up story. It's more than just spinning a story, right?
The definition of true fake news is if it's just absolutely a fabricated story. So let's say there's a political opponent who wants to do kind of a hit job against their other another candidate, and maybe they'll leak an article, or they'll leak a report or a press release or something about something that someone else did that's just completely made up. And one of the things that we've learned with the Russian investigation and the Steele dossier is some of the things that with President Trump, where obviously there's a lot of fake news swirling around the liberal versus conservative you know, debates that are going on. But there was this dossier that was created, and it was all just fabricated out of thin air. So true fake news would be just a false story. You know, something that a company maybe releases that's just a lie. Now, what often gets kind of roped into fake news is just simply biased news, or news that has kind of a spin on it, or it's exaggerated, where it's not necessarily a false story. It's just there's a lot of bias to it.
Well, I'll give you an example here that I was very directly involved in. We know about the protests and even riots in Hong Kong. We see it on TV. We see people with masks. We see people mm-hmm. shooting tear gas mm-hmm. and that type of thing. It looked very, very violent, looked very dangerous, looked like the whole city was up in an uproar. Well, last month I traveled to Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there were warnings and there was a little bit of fear. In fact, in us, you know, we thought, what are we going to expect when we get to the airport? Because we had heard about the protesters coming onto the airport, mm-hmm. the airport being shut down. What's going to happen when we get to mm-hmm. China? This is before the coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, what we found out, though, in talking to people in Hong Kong, you know, if they were worried for their lives, it's, no, not at all. I said, those people are all protesting in a particular part of town. We oftentimes get warned that they will be coming to
part
of town.
Wow.
The police send notices saying they gave them permission to even demonstrate in a certain part. And the police was just saying that if you have children, you know, keep them inside, make sure your windows are closed mm-hmm. in case there's tear gas. I mean, they had a pretty orderly thing. And then when we got to where we were staying, we stayed right in on the island of Hong Kong, you know, right on the coast there. And we were asking, where are the riots, you know, mm-hmm. to the local people, because we were holding a Kingdom of God seminar. And said, where mm-hmm. are these riots? And it was like, what riots? You know, it was just the, that's right. They're about 2 miles from here.
Really?
You know, we could actually walk to the riots. Of course, we didn't, because mm-hmm. we just didn't want to tempt God, put it that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, after being there a couple of days, that was not even a topic of our discussion.
What a difference.
It was such a difference from what was in the news. In fact, we saw more about the riots by turning on to CNN in our hotel room in Hong Kong to find out what's going on in Hong Kong.
Here
we are. We're just sitting right on top of it. And the people that we know in Hong Kong, they said that oftentimes the film crews are there when there's movement of people, which is usually about the time that they quit for the day. Because that's when there's, you know, movement of people, you know, things happening, rather than all day long, you know, where they might be just holding a sign. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to hear that perspective, which is not the impression that's given over here.
Yes.
You know, here's what we get on the news is here are the riots. Mm-hmm. They're protesting this. You know, the Red Chinese have them all surrounded, which obviously they do. Mm-hmm. You know, they can do this. Will this be another Tiananmen Square type of a thing? And there was none of that. Now, I'm sure that things could morph, mm-hmm. but the presentation of the news was making it far more volatile and dangerous. For the purpose of what? To mm-hmm. make it more spectacular, because you mm-hmm. can't tell a story, well, here's just a group of people, they're unhappy, it wouldn't make news.
No.
But to show maybe somebody throwing a canister of of mm-hmm. gas or maybe being beat up or something happening, that makes big news, and then that colors and presents something that really is not the case at all. And we were there. You know, we were
interesting.
There.
I remember before you left, you were talking about not knowing exactly what it would be like over there, and Mr. McNeely, too. Well, that's a perfect example, like you were saying, of the media and the internet age and even TV, where everything is kind of spun up a little bit. If it's a 3 or a 4 on the scale of 10, they'll kind of crank it up a notch to an 8 or a 9 or an 11 or something.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, too, that there wasn't anything to the fact that it's a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, Hong Kong is going to revert to, you know, mainland China, and that is a concern of people, but really it was not.
There was still stability there.
Very much so.
It wasn't like the whole country or city was burning down.
Not at all. New construction going up, you know, people just basically annoyed even by what's happening, because they have their lives to live, they have things to do, and they're not going to be sitting at home just cowering in fear.
I've got another example of one of those, but I remember this one specifically, even though I can't cite the actual source or the name of the image, but at Trump's swearing-in ceremony, when Fox was covering it, and they showed their image of, you know, their wide shot of the Washington Mall, what you saw was just shoulder-to-shoulder crowds completely filling the frame. Well, then someone else covered it, and they had a live image, and that kind of crowd was not there. There was a crowd there, but it wasn't the same image that they were showing. Like, it was more patchy. And when they were confronted about it, if I remember correctly, Fox said that, like, yeah, well, we were showing an image of the thing we were talking about. It wasn't a live image or whatever. But, like, if you're just tuning into Fox, it looks like, oh, this is the swearing-in ceremony. And that's kind of a more innocuous example. But you see stuff like that all the time, just these tiny little embellishments that, you know, when you stack them all together, kind of equal one bigger lie.
I think one of the things that people are just frustrated about is they wish that people, their news could just report the news, you know, whatever happened, just tell us what happened. You know, we can make our own decision. I know one of the big, you know, Fox News, that they're re-report, you decide. And and I think that obviously, though, Fox News serves a purpose for, you know, trying to counterbalance the other biases that are out there. So they are obviously more conservative. But I think that tagline, you know, there is truth to that tagline in terms of what people are craving. You know, people do people do want to just know what exactly happened. And it is hard to find. It's just hard to find a non-biased news source nowadays.
Well, I know when I was growing up, we had Walter Cronkite on CBS News. That's who we watched at 5:30 p.m., you know, every evening. And he was just reporting the news, and we listened to him, and we believed everything that he said about what was happening. And now, with so many channels, there's far, far more. You know, there's MSNBC, CNBC, there's, you know, Fox and CNN, and then you have myriads of others. You have local reporting. You have so many, and they vary so much. Between MSNBC and Fox News, there is a wide gulf where you don't even know if it's the same story or not. And that gives you a wonderment about the human mind, about intelligent human beings who can fall for one thing and reject knowledge of something else because they want to believe a lie, or they want to believe that they're a liberal or they're a conservative, and they just fall in to whatever camp there is, irrelevant of what the truth is.
I think a lot of this stems from marketing, because I remember I was pretty young when I first noticed how ridiculous it was when you're already watching the news, you're watching some 24-hour news channel, and they'll say, your children could be in danger, find out more at 8 o'clock. And it's like 5 o'clock when they're saying this. It's like, no, tell me now. Like, if my children are in danger, I want to know now.
Yeah.
But they're trying to keep you on a leash the same way that, like, a fast food company is trying to do the same thing. So I think a lot of it comes down to preying on the consumerism.
And using a lot of the techniques of, you know, you wouldn't believe what Princess Diana said.
The catchy headlines.
And then they play commercials, you know, and then they finally get to what she said, and it wasn't all that great.
Well, you mentioned Walter Cronkite, and even if you look at the last 10 years, think about it, even the modern news anchors who filled a little bit of that role, some of them were caught up in their own, like, their own scandals and had to step down due to fabricating stories. And so you just have this overall lack of credibility now where there's just no trusted source. And you know, what sometimes frustrates me is that there's such a lack now of kind of plain spoken truth, kind of truth telling normal journalists, it seems, at least in the, it's certainly in the TV realm and then the internet as well, that, you know, I've heard this idea that everyone is kind of supposed to become their own investigative journalist. You know, we're all supposed to be on Facebook and CNN and Fox News and Drudge Report or other places. And we have to, if we want to know the truth about something, we need to invest, you know, 3 or 4 hours investigating all the different sources. And I just think that's completely unrealistic for, you know, the average American who's now kind of being asked and having to kind of do their own digging into things.
You almost need like a minor in journalism to
even
understand how to perceive the world.
Yeah.
You know, and yet the news agencies, whether it be newspapers like the New York Times, whatever, make sure that they vet the stories, that it has corroboration, it has all this. They have all that, and they still come up with a bias, you know, of what they want to report and what they want to totally ignore.
Yes.
And that's one way to spin it, is just to, is just to stay away from the evidence and to be accurate about the minority evidence or the point they want to make.
Well, and this is actually a bigger topic than even what we've talked about here with this one article that came out in November. And this was from The Guardian, a British newspaper. And the headline is, "The Collapse of the Information Ecosystem Poses Profound Risks for Humanity." And the author is Lydia Polgreen. And it sounds like a very hyperbolic headline, that, you know, the collapse of information ecosystem, profound risk for humanity. But when you look at what she says, she actually brings up a good point and quotes some credible sources. One of the quotes, well, first I'll read what she wrote. She says, "We are currently facing a new systemic collapse, one that has built far more swiftly but poses potent risks for all of humanity, the collapse of the information ecosystem. We see it play out every day with the viral spread of misinformation, widening news deserts, and the proliferation of fake news." But she adds one stat in the middle of the article that says, since 2008, at least 28,000 journalists have lost their jobs. So that's 28,000 fewer journalists out there who are really actually trying to track down stories. And then this is another quote. She says, "Today, we get much less foreign news as news organizations close their bureaus, and local news may go the way of the dodo as newspapers across the country fold." And the last thing I'll quote from her is she talks about how the scientists behind the doomsday clock actually added this issue and this warning to their doomsday assessment. And she writes, quote, "When the scientists behind the doomsday clock published their yearly assessment of how close we are to planetary doom, they added a new dimension to the dual threats of nuclear proliferation and climate change, namely, quote, the intentional corruption of the information ecosystem on which modern civilization depends." So it gets into that idea of the post-truth age and the post-facts, that, you know, people just don't even know what to believe anymore, and it starts to strip away their very sense of truth and right and wrong.
And to some, it also becomes a source of just jading, of being jaded, because you don't know what's right. It could be wrong, and you become cynical towards news, towards anybody. I have honestly tried to find some source of news where I could see international news in a truthful light. And we've tried Sky News, you know, from the United Kingdom, because we can get it on Roku. But we found, too, that they were pretty much very, very liberal and reporting news in the United States very spun, contrary to the administration.
Were you going to jump in, Chaz? It seemed like...
I just had a thought on. I didn't know if this was the right time to bring it up, but I was just thinking about, because you're talking about how there's so much dishonesty, like widespread dishonesty, and it's hard to know where to even begin to try to find the truth in all this. So it becomes white noise. Once you can't trust anything that's being told to you, like a lot of it must just make people internalize a lot more and make them look for confirmations to their own biases. And I'm wondering right now if that's why you have people entrenched in, like, if you've noticed, like, things, if people have gotten more entrenched in their views in the last, you know, few years, maybe like 10 years or so. I'm wondering if that is related. I'm wondering if it's because they have given up on trying to even figure out what everyone's talking about, so they're just looking for things that confirm what they already believe. Or that could be complete conjecture. I don't know.
No, it is. It's actually spot on. There was there's a quote in this this article about from The Atlantic, some real news about fake news, and it talks about, I'll just read the quote here that fits exactly what you're saying about the polarization. This Pew Research study which I'll just cut in. And one of the tips for figuring out what's real and what's not, or what's fake news or what's real news, is some of these organizations, like the Pew Research is one of them, that is a very reputable, or Gallup. Well, some of the polls obviously is not what I'm talking about, but if there's a research study done by Pew, that's a big name. There's a lot of backing behind that, and they also have a very vested interest in making sure their credibility stays the same. Otherwise, they'll just completely, you know, fall to the wayside if they're caught, you know, manipulating things on a consistent basis. So one thing I do is try to find what are the really reputable organizations still, where their name is on the line. And they have a vested interest in not being caught up in a lot of other things. So Pew is a good one to, when you see that name, that's a good one to trust, I should say. So here, just the quote that speaks to your point, it says the Pew study, quote, suggests that fake news panic, rather than driving people to abandon ideological outlets and the fringe, may actually be accelerating the process of polarization. It's driving consumers to drop some outlets, to simply consume less information overall, and even to cut out social relationships, end of quote. So it gets into that concept that, you know, as people get more and more frustrated with the options out there and the animosity or the bias that's so, sometimes it's easy to see and sometimes it's not, they just start dropping those news channels from their kind of news diet. And then they end up just consuming things from only sources they agree with. And those may not be trustworthy all the time either. And then that's where you get into this kind of confirmation bias, and you get into a vicious cycle of only hearing anything that comes in that agrees with you, then you're only going to kind of fall into this pattern that can be unhealthy.
There's even been kind of a spotlight put on really popular social media sites and websites like YouTube and Facebook for tapping into the market of confirmation bias. So you know how YouTube you know, recommends videos like, oh, you watch this, you'll like this. They've got an algorithm that does that, and that algorithm just it doesn't, the way that it works isn't like, oh, you watched this very biased news source that, you know, pitched this argument. Now here's another one that gives a counter argument. It's like, no, there's just more of that video that you just watched. And we'll have these conversations. And sometimes when we're arguing the same point, it sounds like we're talking about completely different worlds. They're arguing like one situation, like, oh yes, this is very bad because this is what happened. And we're like, well, that's not what happened. This is what happened. And we just get in these little echo chambers, or we get in these little bubbles that, you know, Facebook does the same kind of thing that YouTube does, where, you know, they'll look at the likes that you have. So if you put the, if you've liked a post that is, you know, Republican or Democrat before, they'll just keep filtering those posts to you. And it really, because people have started viewing their world through the visor of their screens, since they're viewing it through that filter, we're kind of being nudged on the way to see the world around us sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
And I think people are becoming wise to that, but it's still very hard to, you have to have like a certain level of discipline to not fall into that, because it's so easy.
You know, you tell us those things, and you know, we're wise to this, but I think that the mass population, generally speaking, is not. It sees those things and just doesn't think. It's the thing that they see. There's so much to see that you can't possibly see it all, or know what the other side is. You kind of see what's thrown at you. And that's a big problem. I had a person that I got to know well in this community who served in Iraq in a diplomatic corps. And he told me that actually he needed to get news about what was happening. And one of the best sources he had was Al Jazeera, you know, of going to the
Interesting.
You know, he went there. He said he was able to get more corroboration for stories, you know, and facts, and that it was just a very good source in comparison to all the noise, right, wrong, distorted, whatever, of everywhere else. So people... sometimes you have to go to a source that is really different or counter to be able to kind of right the boat. You know,
oh, definitely, definitely. That's what I what I often do. There's a verse in Isaiah that is in chapter 59 that speaks to this post-truth era that we're living in, and that everyone can kind of recognize inherently with the way that new media is and the internet. But it's in Isaiah 59 and in verse 14, we'll pick up. It says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity or justice cannot enter." In verse 15, "Yes, truth fails." And that this description here of truth being, you know, fallen in the street, that the very essence of truth, or the idea of something being true to its core and to be able to recognize it as truth, is described here in Isaiah as fallen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fallen down. It's not propped up anymore. It's not standing. It's not looked at in the same way as it may have been looked at in the past. Mm-hmm. And this is a verse that definitely speaks to, you know, our time now and some of the trends that we're seeing.
Some of it is a matter of character that really relates to the law of God, the Ten Commandments. I mean, one of the cardinal Ten Commandments is do not bear false witness.
Yes, exactly.
You don't think too much of it. I mean, you think that, well, I don't want to commit adultery, and I don't want to kill somebody. But people are not as careful about the aspect of truth. Mm-hmm. And even shading or whatever is not considered something that is all that bad. Yeah. And yet Jesus Christ said, your word is truth. The word of God is true. Mm-hmm. It's not shaded.
No,
You know, it isn't spun. Mm-hmm. What if everything that is promised to us, like eternal life, was just one big joke, you know, mm-hmm. just one big fabrication?
Yeah.
I mean, what, to me, that would be one of the most devastating realities, mm-hmm. is if God spun the truth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he tells us what our future is when you read a chapter like Ephesians 1 that has the entirety of the plan and purpose mm-hmm. of mankind in there. I believe it. That's my trust and faith.
Yeah, there's another, I'm glad you mentioned that about you know, the Ten Commandments, and there's another mm-hmm. verse in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah 9:3 says that, quote, "All men bend their tongues like bows to tell lies," and it just talks about this, you know, it applies to this time that we're in right now, that at the root cause of fake news, if it's really fake and truly a false story, would be people behind it who are telling lies. You know, people are telling lies that's spreading the fake news, or some of them are just being duped in. But the root cause of some of these false stories is human beings with corrupted human nature who are, you know, fabricating things.
Well, it's been a very good discussion here. I feel like we've just kind of scratched the surface because there are some things further that I'd like to discuss. We'll save it for another program.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a joy to be here. And I do want to just say one final thing, that with all of some of these negative trends, there definitely is hope, and there are ways to fight against, in your own personal way, against some of the trends that are out there. And that's maybe something we can talk about next time.
Love to. So thank you for joining us on Inside United. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to us at email at podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. And tell us about any other subjects that you'd like to hear about. We will find the people to discuss them, because we'd like to talk about things that are of interest to our audience. You can find us on the ucg.org website. On the main menu bar, go to the podcast button and tap or click on that. So join us weekly or anytime. Tell your friends about us. So long until next time. Come back soon to Inside United again.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.